by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young dude. We need to take out the lefties.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
So, what's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag, guy?
That was such a humble brag. Ladies and gentlemen, the USA are champions. We did it. It's the Ryder Cup recap back in action. Glad to be here. Ron Newkirk here with John Krafick. What's up, man?
What's up? Yeah. Whoa. Big, that was a big smashing.
Yeah. Just a dominating performance by the US of A. Glad to be an American golfer. Geez, what a weekend. How good is freaking team golf when we win?
Dude, there's nothing, man. It's like, there's nothing like the Ryder Cup. I haven't been as invested in the past as I was obviously this year, for a multitude of reasons, but
yeah,
man, was that fun, dude. I was so dialed in,
It was the perfect combination of just everything. Like, the course was great. The team was great. The weather was great. Match play at Whistling Straits is absolutely electric. The fans seem to be great. Everything was just, it was a perfect storm. And like,
yeah,
if you didn't watch that and come out a way, I don't know, just love golf more than you already do, like, you just don't have a pulse. You're not a real person.
Right.
Like, well, incredible.
Yeah. It's just it's weird. It may even sound weird to like the regular fan, just how unique it is, just like that format and that like style. And even like to us as like big golf fans is how unique that is to watch. Like, we don't get to see that, you know?
No.
And obviously not at the caliber of level of players that we, you know, got to see it, but it's funny because, you know, the history with the US and the Ryder Cup, you know, which has been, you know, well documented, obviously, right? It's when you just kind of went through everything, you know, you're right. Everything was just kind of coming up aces, and it was just like,
it was so.
And it was funny because everybody was like waiting for the shoe to drop, right? Like, even Sunday, like you couldn't have had more of a comfortable lead, and everybody's still like, you know, worrying, and Europe starts hot. Yeah.
Yeah. I text you and Frankie right when Xander missed that first putt on the first green to have the hole or whatever. And I'm just like, or maybe I think he lost the hole.
He lost it.
I was just like, oh, here we go. Like, here we go. This is going to be very powerful. Why did they put Xander against Rory first? This should be somebody else. Like, probably should have been DJ. Like, I'm going through my
head. Just overthinking.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, how just the whole, until we like clenched it, I didn't feel safe. Like,
it's funny.
Everybody went out there. We'll go through everything. But like, it was crazy.
It's funny. Cause you know, I was dying because I was like, I feel like I've watched almost every shot shown on TV, which was clearly not all of them, even though only 16 dudes were on the course. Yeah, but I couldn't wrap my head around, like, there's no way these dudes from the US are losing this. Like, even in singles, like, they're gonna blitz these dudes. They have to. I don't know. It was an unbelievable showing, from all the rookies. Kind of, you know, what feels like a little bit of like a changing of the guard, in a sense of, you know, we bring in a more, you know, a younger team, a team that can look the same moving forward. And you look at the Europe side, and it did, like, it looked like a team that was kind of on their last leg.
Yeah. It's like, it really was, because I think we talked about this in the preview, and the previous USA teams just were like slapped together. And I think one of the biggest things that was different is like the six captain picks, even though he picked like the guys in a row, but like you said, like, this I mean, what do we do moving forward if these guys don't, like, the same guys don't get in? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I want to keep this same team. Like, well, maybe minus Harris English.
I was gonna say there are a couple names. I think Zalatoris is gonna make his way. Like, I can see him getting hot.
Yeah, there's gonna be some young guys. There's gonna be like, there's
interchangeable Does Wolf ever find it? He is a dude that's built for this kind of, like, that, you know, that kind of platform, in a sense.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're like, how do you, like, this was such a great team, and I would love to bring this back,
yeah,
into Italy. And but, like, what about Patrick Reed?
Like, right. So, well, yeah, that's another one too. You know, Reed.
It's so funny that, like, all of these things come up, and we literally just won it 3 days ago. Like,
yeah. No. Yeah. I know.
We're already thinking 2 years down the road.
But you're right though. I think, you know, there were a lot of questions that had to be asked that, you know, Stricker had to ask. I thought he did it. I mean, you look at, obviously you're talking about the captain's pick, but, you know, even, like, kind of taking the more analytical approach and looking at it, like, you know, everything that he did came up, just it worked, you know. And it wasn't like, I was talking to somebody today, actually, when I was playing, and the guy was saying, he was like, I was so happy to see them kind of switch it up and get to see different guys play with different guys. And it wasn't just like, you weren't just seeing, you know, JT and Spieth. We saw a little bit of Brooks and Spieth. We saw a little bit of, but
it kind of rested everybody, which when we talked, I was like, there's no way Brooks isn't playing five.
Or Bryson didn't play all. Five. Yeah.
No. And that's the thing. Like, to take Bryson out of the alternate shot, I think, was so smart. And then it just gave everybody a break. Like,
yeah.
The only guys that played five were what?
DJ killer, 5-0.
Spieth?
Spieth
missed one on Saturday.
Xander did. No,
I forget who it was. There's so
I think
much
there was to... one other, maybe Morikawa. No, maybe I forget. It was one of those guys.
He was 3-0-1. I don't know. There's one other dude, I believe.
I thought there were two, but even so, to your point, I think walking away from this year, you would kind of wouldn't think twice about running it back with the same group. But that's where we're at, right? 2 years from now, is Harris English going to hang around?
So far, look what happened to Jordan Spieth in 2 years.
Exactly, exactly.
Look what happened to, like, a ton of people.
Did that bet cash? Did that bet cash by chance? I didn't see. Did he win his singles match?
No, he didn't. Did I bet him?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I said, remember I said last episode, I said my number one lock of the week was whoever's playing Spieth in singles.
So funny. But I was looking at last year's team, and it is just so different. Like, Bubba Watson was on it. Like, and having the eight people. So, like, in that eight people, Patrick Reed, Bubba Watson, and Ricky Fowler and Webb Simpson.
Wow, that's crazy.
Those are four people that made it in a lock, and that was, well, now 3 years ago. But
yeah,
still, like, look at the times that are changing. So then, obviously, the next three guys that were in order for the Ryder Cup in the standings was Bryson, Phil, and Tiger.
Wow. And
it skipped three guys in the likes of Xander Schauffele, Matt Kuchar, Kevin Kisner, and Tony Finau got in there. So, totally different team, like, if you look at it from that perspective, but, like, the same core group of guys, like Brooks and Dustin, Justin, Jordan, that group right there, like, are kind of interchangeable, I think.
Right.
Those are the staples. And I feel like this team was just, like Jordan said, like, it's just all the guys that they grew up playing with.
That's a good point. Did it surprise you, you know, now looking back, based on the conversation that we had prior to the Ryder Cup obviously happening, did it surprise you at all, like, the vibe of the USA team and how well they kind of just kind of how cohesive they did look, and
100%.
It felt like everyone was on the same page type thing?
It was like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I didn't think it was going to be like that at all.
Right.
I thought if we won, it was just going to be like everybody played well. I didn't think it was going to have such a team feel like this. Like, I walked out of my basement, out of the lounge on Sunday after we clinched, and I just was just like, wow, this is America. Like, we are a team. Like, this is what it's about, boy. Like, to see, who would have ever thought Brooks and Jordan was going to be a pair?
Right.
That alone, like, and then to hear Captain Stricker say that Bryson and Brooks wanted to play together.
They wanted to play together. They
hugged twice.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Like, and the first one, they actually meant it. Like, they,
no, I know it was genuine. It was, yeah. It got like genuine. A camera caught it. Wasn't like a staged thing.
Show. They were right. Doing right. It because they were teammates.
Right.
Like, it just seemed so, like, I always look at the Europeans, like, every person knows their role. Everybody, they don't care. They leave their egos at the door. Like you said last week, I feel like the US did that. Like, Bryson didn't bitch about not playing five times. Like,
Same.
Like, everybody just had a role and did what they had to do.
Right. So there were a couple points that I heard about this was, one of them was this as a group and a Ryder Cup. This is the first, and I don't know how many years, but it's the first time in a very long time that Phil or Tiger was not a part, you know, was not a part of the team.
Right.
And just thinking about, like, I don't know, you know, like you said it too, how these guys all kind of grew up playing each other. They have a way, just like, I feel like the mutual respect between everybody it's a little bit different now. There's just so many dudes and they all know that they're dudes. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it kind of changed the way that before, when you know, a rookie or you have this much youth put onto a Ryder Cup team goes into a locker room and it's Tiger and Phil. It's like, it's not the sit in awe, but it's still like, you know, you want to watch what you say. You want to watch what you do. You kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a different vibe. And those guys, I mean, credit to Phil too. Credit to Phil in the assistant captaincy this year, because how much did you really like hear or see of Phil? Not much at all. But which is like that in its own sense is like such a, you could tell like how much was the focus was just on the guys. It was, how do we make the guys comfortable? It wasn't about me. It wasn't about Phil. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a really, really good point. I didn't even think about that.
It was interesting. It had a different vibe. It had a different vibe.
I'll tell you one person that I hated to see there. I voiced my opinion about this to you. I cannot stand that Zach Johnson again and again vice captain.
Dude, he's gonna be a captain. He's gonna take over for Stricker.
But can I ask you a question? Why is he there?
Who likes him?
Nothing against him. Nothing against him. He's a major champion.
What?
Who 10 times on tour? Like, he's a big guy, but like, are you there? Like, when you're sitting there, you're standing on the friggin' green watching Brooks on the driving range, just not even saying a word. Like, what are you doing there? Like,
he was on tee boxes a lot too. I saw him walking around with the headset.
I get Freddie Couples, I get Davis Love, I get everyone except for Zach Johnson.
My question would be, who is in a place of power that he has dirt or is holding something over their head? Because that's the only thing that's like, to your point, that's the only thing that makes sense. Who's he blackmailing?
Freddie Couples. It's either Freddie Couples or
we got to start looking up wives.
We got to do some dirt.
Yeah, some serious digging.
You know, I was thinking who would be a really great vice captain for that team?
Who?
This is a shout out to Frank. Rick Fowler.
Oh my God. Imagine if he's retired in 2 years and he's just he's not even playing on tour anymore.
Like, how sad was he watching this? Like, how I know. Sad do you think that guy
oh was? No, dude, he was probably there. Like, he was you know how Ricky Fowler's got a bunch of different outfits and, like, you know, you could see him doing a promo or something, like dressed as somebody else, disguise. I could see him being a disguise with a red coat on.
Yeah,
he could inside
been.
The ropes.
He could have been
there. To your Zach Johnson, I don't know. Like, you know, how many times have you heard a player of influence say a word about Zach Johnson in the last year or two? I have not. I personally have not. I don't know. I don't know his relevancy.
that's what I'm trying to understand.
I don't understand it.
I don't get it. I don't understand, like, who he's friends with. I don't know. Like, he's like in like a different era. I get that, but like
are we missing something in the sense of like, is he a like a heralded, like, is he like an elite golf mind? Is he like thought of as like, I mean, what's his is playing
he like
career?
That, he's like, are, his playing career is very well. I think he's.
I know it's good. He's champion. Actually. So yeah, I was gonna say, is it two majors?
I don't know if it's one. I know he's won a green jacket. I think he's won a.
Oh, geez. Yeah. He's got four.
Four majors?
Yeah.
No, he does not have.
No, he doesn't. He can't. There's no way. These are probably four of these played in the last one. If you can't tell, I just Googled Zach Johnson majors and it came up. And then I was like, wait, that says 2020 Masters?
Yeah, no. Maybe appearances.
All right. We got to go to the real facts. Wikipedia.
Go to Wikipedia and figure that out. But I
know he's got 12 PGA Tour wins.
I know. I knew he had over 10.
He's won a Masters and the Open. He won them 8 years apart.
Yeah, which is crazy. So his
best finish in the PGA T3 and best finish in the US Open twice T8.
Very solid iron player. I know that. But my question is his relevancy. Like, I don't remember him being like a stud on the Ryder Cup, because clearly nobody has really been a stud on the Ryder Cup team for the US. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. We've already spent too much time on him.
I know. I just had to get that one out there. Yeah. What do you want to do? You want to go right through Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Did you watch all of it?
I
listened to a lot of it on Friday, watched a bunch Saturday, and then I was tuned in all of Sunday.
So right. I'm
ready to go.
Where should we start?
I mean, what did you think of like the first pairings, like against each team?
I loved JT
against Rahm and Sergio.
Yeah. Okay. That's my biggest takeaway from the whole weekend, was that Rahm's the best player in the world. I don't know how you walk away from watching those 3 days and not think he was another dude that played five rounds, which I kind of didn't really take into account when we were talking about how he was going to fare on Sunday, and Scotty just did. Oh my, that was unbelievable. But
should we tell everybody what I said about that match now or later?
I know, right? That's up to you.
I don't. Yeah, let's keep it on Friday.
Yeah. Friday. I don't know. Friday was. I was excited to see the course. Like I thought it did everything. I thought it like really showed well. One of my big takeaways was just the thing that I think the only thing that it lacked was the fact that there were no European fans. Is I think it hurt in the sense of like, yeah, you know, it was great obviously to have the USA, like the US crowd. The crowd was awesome, you know, obviously, but there was no like kind of banter back and forth between like the fans. And that's where it can get kind of really interesting. And not that they were going to have a huge turnout, but it would have been. There was nothing. There was that group of like eight dudes dressed as clowns doing the dance.
Tee box that were probably like paid to do that.
Right. So that was the one thing that like right away Friday was kind of my takeaway, was like, oh, this is as good as it's going to get. This is as comfy as it's going to get. You're never going to have another Ryder Cup where, I mean,
it's
God,
so
please.
One-sided.
It's so one-sided in the form of support and like fans, regardless of if you're playing home or away moving forward now, hopefully. Right.
That's a good
point. So that Friday I kind of took away as like I just felt like, the moment wasn't going to get too big for the guys. And if anything, like that crowd and the way that you heard those roars throughout it was sick. Like there were roars.
It was sick,
And like, I just felt like that could be used in such a way to like swing momentum. And like, there's just no way that these guys aren't going to be up all the time. Obviously the way they came out going starting 3-1,
My biggest thing on Friday is that the Rooks just, I mean, Morikawa is playing with DJ. Love that matchup.
God, it's so good.
So it just kept getting better, because then, you know, they started playing well. And then Brooks and Berger, like that is Daniel Berger, I have a completely different outlook on. Like, I didn't.
Do you have a man crush?
I don't have, let's not get crazy. Let's not, we don't have to go too far.
Yo, he reminded me of you.
Why, dude?
He reminded me of you in the when that whole Brooks thing happened with the we'll talk about that. That'll be a separate one, but that dude reminded me of you.
Just being like such a dick, like
no, just being like I heard somebody describe like he was clearly the dude that is like willing to jump in the foxhole with you. Like right. if you're on his team and you want to go to war, you want to talk shit. That dude is all in. Exactly. Dude was all in.
He just was. Oh my god, I can't wait to talk about that. Yes,
but yeah. So how did your perception change?
So my perception changed just because like he's kind of more. He was a lot more fiery than I ever like.
Yo, he's thought. A jock. He's a jock.
He's just like, he is just like one of the guys. Like I always thought, I don't know what I thought. I just wasn't a huge fan like of him, like his face, like
right.
He carried himself like
right.
Everything. Obviously he's a great golfer. He's won a few times on tour. He had a great year last year. Like everything was great, but I don't like his swing. Like I'd never liked anything about him, but
yeah,
now I do. Like
yeah
he's a guy like he's
yeah
I feel like oh my god I just feel a part of that team and like every single one of those guys are my guy now like
I know what you mean because I do feel like and that's why these events specifically are so important is one the team aspect changes the way that like you know we legit I'll talk about this a little bit later but like that you think of golf as a sport right it just
right.
It changes everything in the way that it's played and then with only these 12 guys per side but 16 guys playing at a time like dude it felt at times like intimate with them with like the coverage right. And everything because you're like you really are like watching them play a round of golf and right. You know in the different formats but like you really kind of got to see who these guys were and how they interacted with their partner and also how they interacted with the competition itself and the way and that's what I mean is like when I was just talking about how you couldn't get a more comfortable kind of scenario for these guys these USA players
especially the rookies
with the fans and you know, the course is like, that's the thing is that it wasn't like the course was easy, but the course was like, it was set up for our guys to excel. And I heard Max Homa say, he said one of his, the things he was most excited about for this Ryder Cup was for the world to see how unafraid all of the rookies are yeah. And how none of those dudes give a shit and how they're like, they're all built for the moment. And it's just...
That is a perfect segue for the last match of the Friday morning. Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter, a solid ass team, like for yeah. The European, like to round it out. But they just ran into an absolute buzzsaw of a team in Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They just, like you said, they feared no one. They pulled a Ronnie and Krafik at CMG against Pody and his boy, won the first five holes and yep. just were nasty, dude.
Like, just dog walked them
after like the third or fourth hole where they kept winning. I'm just like, they're only gonna play freaking 10 holes.
Right.
They're going to play 10 holes. That's it. Like
right.
Literally.
And it felt like even guys that, you know, we've seen because and so that's the thing, too, right, is with the Ryder Cup is it's the pressure and it's how things change when they're, you know, when you're on the green, because these guys are so talented that like when you're on the greens, that's what's going to separate you. Who's going to make more putts? Like birdies are going to win holes. And it just felt like everybody was kind of like taking turns, making everything.
Yeah.
Like it and was
nuts.
Yeah,
it was nuts. Like.
And then so takeaways Friday, I'll go three quick things on the European team. Okay. When I just explained, how this format makes you more intimate with the players, Poulter's way bigger than I thought he was.
Yeah.
Dude, he's like way bigger than I thought, just size wise, like way bigger.
I think they all are.
I think Berger too. I kind of was my takeaway. Berger's no, they're tall. Definitely not. They definitely not all are. Cause Xander is a shrimp. And Morikawa is a little guy too. But on the European side, God, I ride so hard with Lowry and Wow, I'm literally forgetting his name. Who was the other? Hatton. I mean, yeah. Hatton, dude. He Tiro. Like both Tiro, both those yeah. guys. Just man, they have just stones. Like some of the putts they made when needed, they didn't play great, oh, yeah. but just they give a shit. And the like, I don't know. I loved both of their just like their game and their attitude. And like those were two guys that I yeah, came
like
away.
If you think about it, like though that. Those two guys are probably going to be on it for a little while. Like you would assume that those are, you know, the new guys coming in.
And they won some big points for them, man. They saved them face. Like Hatton and Lowry made some clutch like putts yeah. on the last hole.
How about that birdie putt?
Yeah, Lowry that birdie putt, dude. Oh, he was so jacked. But yeah. we would be. I mean, this would.
Yo, would have Lowry, to Lowry got so excited that he was almost embarrassed afterwards.
That he like, was so excited. I know.
I think that was that on Saturday? That was on
no,
Saturday.
That was no, dude. I think that was well. No, oh no, it was yeah. no. I think it was Saturday.
Yeah, I think it was Saturday. But still,
but Friday, one of the. I mean, it just the shot heard around the world. Bryson, like, wait, Bryson and Spieth was Friday. The Spieth shot was both of their shots were Friday, I believe. Yeah. Bryson drives one 417 on the par five.
Yep.
417.
Yep. That's so long.
It was funny. The next day he had the wind had switched and it was into the wind and he pulled one left. He was 228 yards away from his tee shot the day before in a par five. So he went
about that.
He went 417. I think he had like 782 or 72 yards.
72 in. Yards in. Yeah.
And then Spieth with quite possibly the most ridiculous golf shot I've ever seen. I can't even think the level of difficulty and but to think to even I mean, I think the ball was in a situation where the only thing you could probably do is hit it the way that he did. But to think that that was going to like to land 4 feet, it was.
Yo,
it was magical.
Look at that shot over and over again. Like that is like when Phil does like his backward shot,
the backward flops off the hillsides.
Flop, like that
right.
could have
he happened. Could have turned that. He could have turned that backwards. Right,
like, that
right.
could have just gone into Lake Michigan, like along with him. Like,
yeah.
And also, dude. Imagine if Lowry tried that shot.
Oh my
just,
God!
He would have just rolled into the lake.
It would have been. I'm pretty sure they have those in his country. You ever seen that? The cheese races. Have you seen the cheese races? Have you? No. Okay. So I'm not even kidding. They find the steepest hills. I don't know if this is. This might be in like England. They find the steepest hills, dude. And they have these giant balls of cheese, and they roll them down, and people try to chase it. And it's just. It's a recipe for disaster. It's you're just watching human bodies just cartwheel down this. This massive ski slope. It's electric. I actually have to send you that.
I have a new, I have a new rabbit hole to find tonight.
I need to find the,
that is hilarious.
It's
so what happens if they,
it's a cheese,
cheese.
It's a cheese chasing downhill. Watch this is so good. I'm looking at it right now. It's in Britain. It's the downhill cheese chasing competition. So
I have to start covering this.
Yeah. Yo, it's electric. Some dudes, dude, they float. They like kind of jump and just land 20 yards down. It's amazing. It's must see TV, but
that's another podcast.
So if some crazy person actually looks YouTubes this, watch a downhill cheese chasing competition in Britain. Think of Shane Lowry rolling down that hill after the cheese. That's what it would have looked like when he rolled into Lake Michigan.
Oh, so back to Jordan's shot. He hits that to 5 feet. Kind of the moment they were kind of struggling.
Yeah.
JT then misses that putt.
I was gonna say, yeah, he missed the putt.
At that point, where was your head on JT and Jordan? Because both of them kind of were just ice cold
so,
water all weekend.
So my coverage take of just the coverage in general was I couldn't believe how little. For 16 dudes on the course, how little we saw some groups. And that group Friday afternoon of JT and Spieth was just legit, dude, not shown. Right. Like we saw JT hit that. I forget. I think it was that 3-wood into the par five. He had two unbelievable approaches into that par five. He made, I think, yeah. And Spieth made the eagle putt or no, he made the eagle putt. And then the next day in foursomes, he did it again. And Spieth made the eagle putt.
It's pretty sick.
But Yeah, I kind of, it's funny. The least confident like group was kind of those two. Like, I just didn't know, like, JT's form coming in. You didn't really know what you were going to get. Like you said, with the putter and then him and Spieth, like, I kind of.
Beforehand, you expect them to be.
Well, you think, yeah, that's
supposed to be the guys. Like, these are supposed to be the guys. And I think, you know, Justin definitely tried to take that in stride, I think, because like he definitely,
you mean that role?
Yeah, that role.
Of the leader.
He was pumping the crowd up. He was kind of like talking to other people. You could see that he was kind of the gel.
I would agree with that.
But yeah, they just didn't play that well. And I would have never, I you know, who would ever thought the rookies would have played that well too.
Right. Know? No, I know. It was a great Friday.
So yeah, Friday was great. Then in the afternoon we got to see, I was surprised to see that they broke up DJ and Colin.
For the afternoon. Yeah.
I was just like, honestly, in the morning wave, like, I was just like, Jesus, what do they do? Like, do they just take out Jordan and Justin and flip somebody in there and leave everybody exactly the same? Cause like, I'd be okay with that. Put maybe Bryson and Tony Finau in where Jordan and just give them a break. And then to see all this happen, like Tony with Patrick Cantlay breaking up Shoffley and Cantlay, you know?
Yeah. Just switching guys around. It really seemed like, you know, kind of just the reports out of the camp itself was that, that the guys really had a lot of influence in who they were going to play with and like when they were going to play together. And I think that's what kind of they wanted was let's not just get into this. Hey, you're just going to play with this guy. This is how it's going to be, kind of do your job thing. Like it's better if we're in a sense intermingling, you know what I mean? Dudes are playing differently and then you got different personalities changing.
I was listening to a conversation with Scottie Scheffler after, I think the day after he was interviewed, and he said that like they said like, you know, who they wanted to play with and all that stuff. But then Stricker kind of just said, okay, well, here's what you're going to do, but this may happen too. So like they kind of had to be ready for anything. Cause they didn't really tell them exactly what was going to happen. It was kind of like a fly out, you know, fly out off your pants. What am I trying to say?
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
It felt right.
Wow. That's
Because we thought Bryson teased the idea, like something big was coming. And we thought that it was going to be the two of them, which, man, now looking back, dude, first off, he was electric.
Yeah. What do we think about Bryson right now?
His stock has never been higher. First, he is 1,000,000% getting coaching on the interviews. He's changed the way he's kind of you can. He's definitely being coached. It's and listening to him now at the long drive. I've seen a couple interview snippets come out from the long drive competition that he's just so talented. Like, that's right. It sucks that as a personality, he just happens to be, you know, a stuff you in the locker nerd. Like he's just a weirdo, but gosh, he was so electric this weekend. Anytime he was up, I was like, holy shit. When he drives the green on one on Sunday, I was like, dude,
yields his putter. Like,
that's what I'm. Dude, that was the reaction when he pulled driver on holes that he was going to even have a chance to hit it near the green. It was like he was pulling a sword out of a, you know, he was like
Excalibur just
as he pulls it out and just the crowd goes crazy. Like, he just shows them his sword like he's about to go to battle.
How about when he put his driver away on that one hole on Sunday, and because the wind was going, like, his driver was gonna be too long,
it was too far,
everybody kind of was just like, oh, and he's just like, guys don't worry,
he hits three wood to the front of the green.
It's like those interactions, it was just like, it was almost like there was a stunt double.
Yeah,
like, it didn't seem like
the yeah end. yeah All right, so we have a couple things to touch on, I feel like, for Friday and Saturday. I think the two biggest things that, you know, I don't actually know how much, because I know you were listening to it, but I think Saturday it was the giving and taking of putts, and then obviously the whole, you know, Brooks Rule interaction. And I have some serious thoughts on that. But did they make it seem as much of a big of a deal, either the Brooks interaction and or the kind of the mocking or the wanting to like be given a putt theme?
Honestly, SiriusXM, they do a great job.
Yeah.
I heard the whole conversation from Brooks and Berger and that whole debacle. Yeah. I heard exactly what they said verbatim. Like they had mics
so
on
good.
And Gary Williams,
they were back. So hot.
It was electric. I had to stop work for like 5 minutes and listen to these guys, because like Berger was just like basically calling them idiots. He's just like, you're telling me
there's 0% chance. There's a 0% chance.
That's what he's saying. Like, and like getting so fired up. And I'm like, I think that might be another reason why I fell in love with Berger too.
It makes a ton of sense.
Oh my God. But I heard that whole thing. The whole mocking of like I didn't see that until I watched late Saturday or on Saturday. I didn't really notice that.
Right.
I don't know what it was like, because Saturday I missed a little bit. So I'm not going to say that it was SiriusXM's fault, because I had to head coach and you know, the undefeated T-ball team. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, the Brooks thing was, I mean, before like it got replayed and all that stuff, I heard when Brooks was just like,
if this is fucking on both of you,
fucking on both of you.
And I was just like, it was.
And then the funniest part was right before Brooks said that, Berger just goes, "Oh man, this is bullshit." And then Brooks just goes, "If I break my wrist, this is fucking on both of you." And I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing.
So the best part too, which kind of got overlooked, was when Bryson was, I think he was waiting for the first rules official to come over, Sergio was also in the bunker, because they were kind of like talking about it before. And Sergio spits out his whatever he was drinking. He spits it out when Bryson says something. Brooks, geez. Yeah. And it was like, I was dying. You know what it was? You know what it was? He said, have you ever seen me swing? Because I've seen you swing hundreds of times. It's like, I've watched you all the time.
Here's something though. When that was happening, dude, that was a turning point that I thought things could have gone really sour, because I'm like, okay, Brooks is pissed off. He's
right. They're fired up.
He's hit his limit. He's going to freaking hurt his wrist and things are going to go downhill from here.
Yeah.
There was so many times like that, but that was definitely one of them.
So I think that the thing that triggered me the most was, and this is just, this goes for like all of golf media, but God, golf media is just the softest, most, it's so pathetic, dude. These guys, the amount of like outcry and rage at like what was happening with one, the Brooks thing, and then the gimme putt thing.
Yeah.
The Brooks thing itself. First off, you're like looking at the situation at hand. It's an athlete interacting with a ref, right? Right. We're talking about sports here. We're talking about sports. So these Muppets, these high level media guys are like, this is disgusting. I can't watch this. I have to turn the TV off. Like, oh, just all this, all like, oh, just what? Cry.
I didn't even hear this.
Oh, dude, like just the reaction. Cause my thing is I like to follow it from Twitter. Like, what's the reaction of the big names on Twitter? And just like immediately they're like, this is disgusting. How could anybody like watch this on TV? It was
I don't understand.
For, like for the way that they were interacting with the referees, like Brooks and Berger, and how it's just it's not golf. It's not like they're that's the thing is they these media and like the golf elites, like they have this version of what they, you know, this like tried and true, you know, respect the game, like this whole thing, right? They have this this little bubble that they're trying to keep the game in and everything. And what they don't realize is that that's literally not how you grow the game. Like that's they're so the media is so out of tap with the like what that like golf fan is now just what one who the golf fan is and what they're interested in. And it's so it was so funny, dude. I'm reading like all this outrage of the way, you know, he's interacting, and I flip the channel. I'm watching I'm watching just a college football game, and you watch any college football game and you watch the way that that ref, you watch the way that a coach rides a ref. And I was watching this dude ride a ref up and down the sideline, hat off, screaming, and just thinking like, even in my own, like, even like personally, I'm not ashamed to say it, but all I did was shit talk refs when I played. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we
always
talking about?
Challenge that. Like, that's part of the game. Like,
it's sport. Yeah. Oh, and it made me so mad. Like the whole reaction to that, and then the outcry of the putter gimme. So I saw.
Yeah, JT did it first, and then Bryson did it with his 14-foot putter.
Well, so JT did it. And that was in the morning. That was in the morning round. Mm-hmm. And Lowry was on the couch, and Lowry clearly saw it, because in the afternoon, one of the first holes that he played, he mocked it. Like he did it, but like it was obviously like it was a joking. Joke. Like it was like you could just tell. You could tell like the vibe of it. Like, I'm telling you, this has to be what Bryson was thinking. He saw JT do it. He probably saw Lowry do it as a mock, and he thought that it was going to be like intimidating. And so he does it. He puts his, which is hilarious. He puts his like 58-inch putter into the cup,
right, and like lays it down.
Lays it down, dude. And the look that he gave them as they were walking away was like so stern. It was almost so theatrical that it was like I was crying. And if you don't think, and so that was the whole another outrage. I actually just read it. There was a freaking article on golf.com on why that can't happen, on why this can't happen. The call for wanting somebody to give you a putt, like how it's not true to the game and all the, just all the almost mockery.
That's
and
crazy.
That's a thing. I thought that was fun.
Like
it's match play. It's match play.
They went back and forth. Is like
that's it. That's the shit talking. That's the whole point of it. And that's what I mean. I'm doing a probably really bad job of landing this plane, but it just there were so many instances this weekend that showed the top, you know, guys that you know you see. There are a couple like younger writers, but the older writers, man, dude, the big names with the check marks. Whew, they're just so out of touch with what's going on. It's like here's the thing. It's sport, right? And why are people so invested in the Ryder Cup, and why is the average fan interested in it? It's because it's not just golf.
Right.
It's not the golf
because
that you
can do shit like that.
Exactly.
If you did that at the fucking Masters, you would get shunned from golf.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
You're not allowed to do that.
There. It's 3 days
it's
a year.
Ryder Cup.
It's 3 days a year that you get to act funny.
Exactly.
And right. I don't know. I think that needs to be celebrated more. And I think that, like, you know, I don't know. It was something that was one of my biggest takeaways of just like, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, how are you not like fired up about this? Like, listen, how are you not? I feel like you're fired up in the wrong way.
One way to solve that whole thing is just put everything in the hole, just like old Ronnie.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I would have done. I would have made everybody putt everything.
Like, I know. And do it the way that the wind was. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I'm not even saying it like the.
Like, no, I know. What
you're, yeah. Yeah. That's the. And I think that's the point. It's like.
Don't get pissed off about that.
And none of the none of these dudes care.
I'm sure those same writers were saying how disgraceful the fans were and all that stuff. When even the Europeans said that they weren't even that bad.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's a couple idiots that get too cocked and go out there and say some shit. But for the most part, it's the Ryder Cup.
Bro, where was the Ryder Cup?
Where? Wisconsin.
Okay. Wisconsin, Midwest people, hospitality, nice people, right?
Right.
You know where the next one is in the US?
Oh.
It's at Bethpage.
It's at Bethpage. Yeah.
You know who happens to live here? You know where Bethpage is? It's in New York.
Yeah, I know. Long Island.
Are you kidding me? If they thought that was bad, I thought the fans were unbelievable. I thought they were almost like too nice.
I'm telling you though, speaking of Bethpage Black, I looked up that Sunday night.
Yeah.
Houses around Bethpage.
Right, right.
And definitely renting a house. And
we're definitely going.
Yeah, we're going all 3 days.
Yeah. No. Oh God, that'd be sick. But if people thought that was bad, whew.
Yeah, no, you're gonna go to New York, and after hopefully getting absolutely ransacked in your own country, and then you're gonna come to New York.
Yeah, I know. And we're gonna have one back to back 19-9s.
Good luck. Yeah. No way does that ever happen again, right?
19-9. I can't see that.
That's just a goddamn perfect storm, man. Like,
yeah, that was a shellacking perfect
storm. Like, I was thinking, like, even like for like betting purposes and stuff, like, you know, they're playing all their matches and stuff. I was like, you know what? I bet Europe's gonna win like the day, because US is just gonna get the points and then not give a shit and just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. And that was not the case.
They just steamroled.
And dude,
what
like
got me going, dude, was Patrick Cantlay.
I was just about to say Cantlay.
Oh my God, dude. When he got off and he had the craziest look in his eyes, like he was ready to keep playing. Like he probably would have done whatever the USA needs him to do at that point.
Yeah.
But he looked into the camera and he goes, "I told the boys this morning, let's get the 20. Let's make a statement." And I was by myself in this basement.
It was fist pumping.
Lord willing, my wife gave me, I mean, the kids were doing stuff. Like they were
far, far away.
Far, far away. But I was, at some points, I was just standing up, just being a damn American. And like, I was so amped.
Oh, I know. I know.
One of the times, dude, it was ridiculous.
I feel you. Let's see what else. All right. Do we want to go day by day, or?
I mean, we covered Friday pretty well.
Yeah.
Saturday.
I mean, it just felt a lot of all the same in a sense. Exactly. Like, you were seeing it a little different. I felt like, all right, so let's do this.
We'll talk about how good Rahm and Sergio were. I mean, they They were killers.
They were killers.
Yeah.
Man, they were so good.
Sergio was good too, dude. So good in the Ryder Cup. I did not.
Oh, yeah. Historic. Yeah. And I love the ride Rahm's coattails, and now, like, even moving forward, if he makes this next team, the fact that he kind of has this in already with Rahm, and if he keeps buddying Rahm, like he could keep making that because he could pile it on.
Yeah,
he's gonna have a historic. He already has a historic Ryder Cup record, and like he can just keep adding. All right, so why don't we do this? I have the list of the final recorded scorings from Whistling each individually.
Okay.
Do you know who was the lowest? Do you know? Have you seen this by the chance?
This is their record.
Yeah. No. This is like to par what they were. So obviously it was match play. So those holes. So you got to think. There's never a blow up hole. So if you get conceded, you get that next stroke. Like, you get the next stroke.
Yeah. So did they really shoot that? Probably.
No.
Like they were given.
No.
Yeah. But okay, I haven't seen these numbers though.
Okay, so the leader is none other than, Mr.
It has to be John Rahm.
No. No, it was DJ.
Really?
Yeah. So DJ was
DJ made he a was lot of birdies.
He was 19 under. For the three days. I mean, obviously he played five. He played the most. He played the most you could. Him and Rahm did. Morikawa must have too, because Morikawa was 18 under.
Wow.
So, and that was the pairing. So the number two and three player in the world play together and just run train. Mom. So 19 and 18 under.
Granted, Rom, like, how do you feel? Like, yeah, they played really well, but they just played Paul Casey all weekend. Like DJing, like
I know, right?
Real, is that really that good? Like,
right?
No, no offense to Paul Casey. Paul Casey's a very good player, but I mean, let's yeah. look at the real. You know, what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
If you were no. against Rom, or like the matchups were a little different. I don't know,
but it's still your score. It's still your ball score. So 19 under, Morikawa 18 under, Rom 16 under.
Okay.
So the top three right there, that was not surprising at all.
Then it had to be 8 Americans and then all the Europeans after that.
No, dude, you would be surprised. You would be surprised. So Cantlay was next at 11 under, which is savage.
Mm-hmm.
JT 10 under.
Okay.
Hovland.
JT
Hovland.
Was 10 under?
I know. Wow. I did not feel like that at all.
No, I would have never guessed that.
Hovland was 10 under. I came away extremely impressed with Hovland. One, that dude always looks stoned. Mm. Always stoned.
I think because he is probably.
Yeah, oh yeah, for facts.
He's gotta be. You can't look like that and not be stoned.
If that dude could make a putt, he would have. He could have slayed. He can just hit some of the best golf ball.
Shots. All like just
unbelievable.
Yeah. Except that one bunker he was in.
Oh yeah. There were actually a couple there were a couple surprising like serious skull and fins and like yeah. some surprise.
Rory had a full
Sergio almost skull. Swung and missed one. He literally hit it like 2 feet, like just went straight under the ball. There were like a couple of those. Finau at 9 under, another somebody we probably should have talked a little bit more.
He played outstanding on Friday, didn't he?
He really did.
Harris
yeah.
English got his first win, first rookie win.
No, Finau was carrying them.
On the coattails.
Yeah.
Finau. I mean, he played.
He got super hot.
What do you have, like 7 or 8 birdies in the back or something?
I think
like
he
that?
Had, I think, like I think he had like 7. Yeah. He might have had like, yeah, 5 on the back, maybe 8 overall or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was something crazy.
Unbelievable.
Sergio. So these guys all were 8 under. Sergio, Lowry, Spieth, Brooks, and Bryson.
Wow.
None of those.
Now that's so crazy to me that if you told me that JT and Spieth had more or the same birdies as, or I know it's not the same, but same score as Brooks Koepka, I would have said, hell no.
I think
Brooks played way better than both of them.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah,
that's weird. That's a weird scoring system.
I think for thinking about it with Spieth is we just saw him miss so many putts that it felt like he wasn't playing as well as he was when in reality it was probably just pars.
Do you think with those guys, there's so much like everybody's so amped up to see them that every little putt or everything that they miss is just so amplified that like.
He couldn't make anything all weekend. they literally just couldn't make anything. Like it felt like he just could not make anything.
Yeah, that's so true. Just trying to save my boy.
I know, I hear you. I respect it.
I will tell you something. I'll be the first one to tell you right now, God's honest truth, Jordan Spieth might not be a team player guy. Like he's not who
I would want to be playing with.
I'd want to be playing against that dude.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the vibe
rough,
I get.
Rough to watch, boy.
We'll rip through the end of these, and then we'll talk about the bottom two. But Berger 7 under, Xander 6 under, Poulter 6 under, Burned Wiesberger, whatever the hell that dude's name.
Not bad.
5 under, Scheffler 5 under, Fitzpatrick 4 under, Casey 4 under, Westy 3 under, English 2 under, Fleetwood 2 under, and I don't know if you've recognized somebody that I have not said their name yet, but
I know exactly who you're talking about. It's the
dude, one
the
under.
He was only one. I thought you were gonna
one
say like
under
plus 6.
And Hatton was even, which is, I mean, he grinded Hatton out there, but I would have never thought he was even. Yeah. But damn, dude, Rory one
That's
under.
Crazy. That's crazy to me that Rory wasn't last.
I know, right? Hatton, that's just a good teammate, man. There. That's a good teammate to do that for Rory.
And honestly, it was probably just the singles day that did it because he had a good day in singles.
Right.
That saved him because he was probably going to be Over par.
I know. He would have been over. He would have been over.
Oh my God. Do you want to get into him and talk about like just how poorly he played and like the whole crying thing?
Yeah. I mean,
what did you think about that? Cause I had,
were you surprised?
So here's the thing. When I was watching it and he got off and then he, I see, like, I looked up and I wasn't really paying attention. I looked up and I was like, whoa, why is Rory crying? And I immediately grabbed my phone to text somebody like, why is Rory being such a puss? Like,
oh, I'm not surprised by that. I'm saying that was almost like, yeah.
So then, but then I just sat there and watched. And honestly, that made me more invested into this Ryder Cup because,
right,
like I'm looking at it like, wow, maybe he's got more perspective now because he's a dad and like he's getting older and like, long ass season, a lot of culmination of like him, bad play for him. And like, this is the end of Rory. Like, this is a lot for him, but this tournament means so damn much to him that he's crying.
Yeah.
And we're not even, US hasn't even won yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I had a complete change of heart in that thing. And like, I respect Rory for what he did and what he said, but like, man, yeah, pull your shit together.
Dude. Yeah, so
he was like crying, dude. Like
I had the complete opposite reaction to you.
I figured actually you would.
This was the first thought that I had. I swear this is like the first thing that I was thinking about. So when, and not just when I heard that, but I think like, you know, if you've listened to Rory over the last, you know, Rory's been very outspoken and his pressers are really good and he's thoughtful and you've really gotten a look into kind of, yeah, you can tell, you know, kind of know who he is now, right? Like you just, yeah, you have an idea of the kind of guy that he is.
Yes.
100%. And what I'll say is I think this was the culmination of everything in a way of my decision's been made. He's a beta. Like he was one of the few that was thought to be kind of like the next, you know, the possibility of being the next great thing. Right. Right. You know, everybody was you're in search of the Tigers, of the Michael Jordans, of the goats. Right. This was like a really good, and this is just from my perspective, obviously, but like, this felt like to me is like, you know what? We've listened to you this whole, like all this time, you know, you've poured your heart out, obviously you're crying, but in showing what this means to you. But if you were that dude, we wouldn't be hearing any of this. Like you're not an alpha, like you, and it's, yeah, and it's been like more evident, obviously, not just with the slip and play, but like, I don't know. I just don't think, like when we talk about like killers, when you talk about like goats and you talk about the Jordans, the Tigers, the greatest players ever, they're built different and they think differently and they live in a world that is not you. It's not normal. People wouldn't understand it. It's not you, like their mindset, their mind space, the way that they interface with the world and society is, it's uncomprehendable to normal mutants like us. Right. They are fucking alphas.
Right.
And my biggest takeaway from that was confirmed Rory beta. We can stop with all that. There will be no second run. There will be no, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just telling you, when I heard that presser, I swear to God, that was like where my head went through. And I was like, all right, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. We can move on now, right? We can keep trying to find out who the next young gun is, or who we think the next great is. But it's not going to be Rory. It's just not.
Oh my God. So are you, with this statement, are you declaring Rory dead?
No, I don't think he's dead. I don't think he's dead. I just think like, you know,
we don't think he's good. Like, do you think like Rom has any effect on like what he was doing? Like, Europe found their guy, like that's who the Europeans are going to look towards, like in John Rahm.
Right, maybe. And I think that was what the when you see him moved to emotion like that, I think a lot of that was him realizing also how much he let down. Like it was him letting down his guys, and
right.
he was looked to. I mean, listen, like, you know, Rahm was the number one, but like he was looked to as one of the top guys, and yeah, he didn't like come through at, again.
I look at Rory as like a guy who on the American side, like a DJ, like DJ was like Rory's supposed to do what DJ did.
Right.
Like that's what he was there to do, and he didn't. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if you could completely call him a beta.
Like he's a beta. Because this was the second thing. So this is the excuses I hear. These are the excuses I hear when just talking about like Rory in general, right? It's one, he's burnt out from the schedule, juggling all the, you know, whatever. He's now, I guess they're saying that he,
yeah, but everybody is.
Right. No. And that's the point. But I think that whether it be, you know, the sponsorship stuff, all the things, like, I guess everything he does now, yeah, he no longer takes like, he actually no longer takes sponsorship money. He wants equity. So if like, it's not worth his time unless he's like getting a piece of like literally what you're doing,
yeah,
which I think is smart, but then you know, you have the kid, the perspective and the wife and the relationship and the, right, you know, whatever these times where he comes up and he talks about, I'm burnt out from golf. And like, it's just, I feel like there's a bunch of red flags in a sense.
How many fucking tournaments does he even play? He probably plays in the least.
That's what I'm saying.
Than anybody.
But there's like, enough, like,
as much as Xander and freaking like all the young guys. And
Cam, that's my point, like, is if you are an alpha,
you don't listen talk like that.
You don't talk like that. You're not worried about your kids. You're definitely not worried about the wife. I mean, look at the goat. What was he doing? He had his priorities straight. He was smashing balls and smashing not balls. No. I don't know. It was funny though, but I remember like that was my takeaway from the Rory. That's where my head went.
I respect that. I respect it. I definitely took a different approach. I just thought it was very genuine. And it showed everybody like how much the Ryder Cup means. And I think you saw that too from your Lee Westwoods and your Ian Poulter.
For sure.
That could have been the last ones that they ever played. Definitely for Lee Westwood. Guy's like 74 years old.
He looked terrible.
His kid, he did not play well. His kid was on the bag with him. So it was very sentimental for him, which was nice. It was cool to see that. But yeah, it just means a ton to these guys. And
I know.
Rory really showed that. So
funny. All right, I got another stat. I think we talked about the golf course fit and everything and how does it favor the US. One, I thought with the wind and everything, dude, like there was obviously such a just a high level of golf on display, but like it was hard. Like that it how, like for how, as I loved it. Hole? I cannot stop. I have a couple, but I can't, when I think about the Ryder Cup, I will never not think about the first hole.
Yeah.
That's like the first hole. And if you look at the whole week, that was the biggest thing, right? Is the US smashed. They were so good on the first three holes, and that stuff matters.
Yep.
But favorite hole, dude, I actually loved it. It was cool that a lot of matches got to the end, but I kind of loved, like, I thought 17 was just such a disgusting hole. That long par three on the water, and it just, it took so much, like,
some of the pin placements on there.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday, where it was off to the right and the wind was coming left.
Coming off the,
just a really, really difficult hole.
That was a hole.
Threes really played like that. Like, what was it? What is it? Three? Three or four?
Yeah, three or four. I forget which the one it was.
Which is opposite.
Three.
Opposite,
yeah.
Opposite of 17, which is like the wind was going right to left.
Exactly.
Stuck that day two pin, I believe, that everybody was just missing left on that freaking side.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And Whistling Straits, though. I mean, unbelievable match play course. Like,
it really was. That's what, like it really was.
Yeah, I don't know how great it was. I remember the PGA was there when Jason Day won, and it was just the wind and all that stuff. It was very nice and all that stuff, but like for match play, like it was like
a great layout.
You need to know the course, you need to know where to miss, And if you don't, you're out of the hole. And
yeah,
you have to make a fantastic Jordan Spieth-esque shot like that.
Yeah.
To recover. And it was perfect. Cause like, you know, some, like, I feel like in Paris, like when you missed, nobody was really out of the hole. Like there was chances for like a lot of chip ins and stuff like that. Like, just a completely different course really. And
right.
This one was just, I really, really enjoyed the match play aspect of that and Whistling Straits. Like,
It was such a good match play course, and where and what it came down to, which, you know, it's kind of what we talked about, like leading into it, was, dude, the Americans are just longer, like they hit it farther than you do, and that makes the game easier. And do you know what the split was on par fives? There were 79 par fives played. Mm-hmm. The Americans won.
Let me guess.
Yeah. Oh no, shit. Sorry.
I was gonna say 60. It seemed like they won every freaking par five.
They won 35 of them, which was almost 40, half. A 44% clip.
Yeah.
Do you know how many of the Europeans won? Because you got to think, 10, obviously,
maybe 10%. And the
rest. They won 12. So twelve of them, which was 15%.
So yeah, and the rest were halved.
And that's where the Ryder Cup lays. Yeah, that is why the US won in such a lopsided margin, was they destroyed on the par fives.
You don't really think about it either, because like Sergio's pretty long, Rory's pretty long, Lowry's decently long. There's some long hitters over Rom, obviously, yeah. And but then after that, like you don't realize when you're putting up like Harris English is probably longer than a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Our bottom guys like Daniel Berger, like probably not the longest, but longer than the Europeans, longer than Bernd Wiesberger.
Yeah.
He surprised me though, that Bernd guy.
He's trash.
Certainly not going to make it next year, but
no, definitely not.
But yeah, no, to your point, like the course was set up perfectly for US, and like we keep harping on, it was a perfect storm, man.
Did you see that they did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag on the first tee on Saturday morning? It was either Friday or Saturday morning. The whole crowd did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Are you kidding me?
No,
you can't even do that in schools anymore. And
you probably can't. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, you can't. You're not. Oh, they don't do that anymore. You know how
we were
younger and we would stand up and
when we were American. Yeah.
Yeah. Back when we were American.
Back when we lived in America.
Yeah.
Dude. So, okay. I got another take. Okay. I am over Ralph Lauren being the primary clothing sponsor of
after
the Ryder
Cup.
You
just told me before this.
Yeah.
I am so over it. I was over it before because it doesn't help any big hefty lefties. All right.
Yeah. Ralph Lauren,
the form fitting, stuff does not help our game or our look. So that, right off the bat. And B, I'm not paying $300 for a hoodie,
bro. Yeah, dude, that hoodie they were wearing was $300.
That's ridiculous.
I thought the color combos were kind of trash. I thought the Friday hat for the US was absolute garbage.
Hold on a second. So you don't like America's color combination?
No.
Red, white, and blue?
No. I was actually talking. I was speaking specifically towards the Europeans, but I just meant like in general. I thought the gray was like nice, but I hated the way that they like switched it combination like day to day. Yeah. Not really like I'm not talking about the specific colors, but like the way that they matched them. I would never talk down on the red, white, or blue. No.
I was like, wait a second. But yeah, the Europeans,
the yellow, the orange,
they're always like weird, but like,
yeah,
I mean, nothing's weirder than those red shirts with like the picture frames on it from the
Ryder God. Cup. Right. Yeah, that's true. That was all time. That was better than those. Yeah,
imagine
way better.
If they came back with those.
That's true, actually. Now thinking back on it, I do remember like how kind of almost like vintage the looks used to be. Like they used to try to kind of like throw it back a little bit when they would do the fits, and especially for like the dinner. I remember some weird, like very weird outfits.
Yeah, well, like thinking about like the opening ceremonies this year. Like those weird,
right,
like
corduroy
jackets,
exactly,
like old school, like look,
which produced a great Brooks and Bryson picture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which Brooks is selling, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. So Brooks is selling pictures of him and Bryson together, like on the same shirt. It's all for like a charity.
Oh, okay.
But they did, like, they just released a Ryder Cup thing, doing a little like coexisting.
This is kind of moving fast past the fits and stuff, but like, did you see that stepbrother shirt that JT made?
That's an all-time shirt.
They should sell that, because
they need to sell. I'm surprised Barstool isn't selling that.
No, Barstool's doing
the Slaughter by the Water,
which is pretty fire.
which I saw that somebody's claiming that they stole that from on Twitter from somebody. Somebody had already said that. But
just give them a cut of the shirts, it'll be fine.
In how many years until a man who was there, who actually had a bunch of. That is why I had the Rory thought. Now I'm putting it back together.
Dude, whoa. You
so Jordan
epiphany.
so Jordan was there, obviously. Like he was actually pretty, forward or front facing. They gave him a lot of airtime. And they did a couple interviews with him. And
you're talking about the GOAT, Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Right, sorry.
Yeah.
How long until Jordan Brand is the U.S. Apparel sponsor?
They should.
Such a layup.
Yeah,
and especially all those guys too.
All those guys all
be rocking. Fire, imagine Jordans. All those dude in retro Jordans, each one of them with a different number. Oh my god!
Whoa!
Yeah, I'll talk to the creative team.
You might have to, because that is pretty. That's epic, actually.
They should do that.
That's a really, really good one.
I would love that. I would buy that. It wouldn't be $300 sweater, but
that's a take quake, baby.
That is a take quake.
That's a take quake. blow your damn ears off.
All right. What else we got?
So here is one thing. This is like completely off topic, kind of, not off topic, but just something I thought of on Friday. After I almost said Pantley.
Pantrick.
Pantrick. After Pat, and what were they calling him? No Hat Pat, which is pretty hilarious, pretty unoriginal, but pretty hilarious. No Hat Pat and Schauffele put a whooping. They were 5-up on Rory and Poulter. I thought of substitutes. Like, what do you think?
You could tap in like in wrestling?
If they go down 5-0, like if Captain Patrick goes in there and is just,
you get a
like,
skunk okay, call,
Rory and Poulter, you're out, go sit your ass on the bench. And then they brought in like guys that were supposed to sit, like,
oh, there's a demotion.
Not so much a demotion, but like
play in the Junior Ryder Cup.
You have two substitutes that you can put in at any time in the match.
Yo, that is
right.
I have never thought about that. I don't think anyone in the history of golf has ever thought about what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, it would totally like.
Like true substitutes. Oh, yeah, like, my God, dude.
Like, and you could sub anybody
at any time, it doesn't have to be two for two. It can be one, like it can be one you for could one.
Put, like, so say like JT was putting horrible. So like, okay, let's bring in Tony Finau to finish out, man. You just go sit down, relax.
Oh my
like,
God, go you're on to something.
And then like in that instance, Rory and Poulter were just not meshing well. Let's bring, guys, go to the range, go do something, figure your shit out.
And you could get
another two guys in. Like, I thought that would be a really cool aspect of the game. It would bring a ton of shit into play, like just for people sitting on the bench. Like,
oh, dude, I can already think of like three different strategic ways you can use it. You can use it in, you can obviously use it in alt shot with, I mean, even think of just
like imagine
saving Bryson. Imagine having Bryson on the bench for both four balls. Or wait, we have to get this right. Is it four when they play alt shot? Is it four sums? Or four ball. No, it's foursomes. That's foursomes.
Yeah, foursomes.
It's foursomes. We messed that up last. Yeah, obviously. Four balls is four balls.
Exactly.
So foursomes. Imagine having Bryson sitting on the bench waiting as like a pinch hitter. and for a short par four.
That's
what
I'm thinking. So think about this, like in the end of a matchup, like say you have a team that's tied or something going into 15, 16, 17, 18.
Right.
Say you have a short par four and two par fives at the end.
Right.
So Jordan Spieth is going to play up until 14.
Yep.
And we're going to tag Bryson in and he's going to go bird. Like, think about that shit. Cause like, did you hear why, like in the alt shop, Colin would go first because he's the best iron player in the world.
Yes. Yes.
He would, that means he would tee off on every par three.
Exactly. Like, so exactly. They're
thinking like that. Like
exactly.
Like imagine the freaking what you could do with that.
That's next level. Yeah, I'm
super crazy.
Very interested in that.
Yeah, I'm gonna when you go to Michael Jordan about that thing, just tell him about that, and maybe he can make
and maybe have him pitch it. I actually like that idea. It'll sound better coming from him. I think you're right.
And just be like, if you don't use my clothing line, at least put this into the
Ryder Cup. Yes.
But like it would just make things like granted Rory and Poulter kind of made it a match, like they went to 15 or 16 holes, but after those five holes, like you know, then they like they could be like in hockey, like when
line shift
is just he's shot, he just waves his stick and somebody comes in, like if Rory's
oh my god on
the fairway and he's like
oh my god
the bullpen thing, like hey, we need somebody in here because I'm literally dying, like
Rory would be tapping for a reliever every round.
Right.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good.
I thought that would be cool.
I like that. So, what else, what other takeaways?
I don't know. I think I got everything on my list so far. I got
where do you like, you know, what's the pulse on? It's funny because obviously the Bryson Brooks thing is dead, you know, which is kind of nice because it ran its course. It actually really worked. It really worked out well.
Better way to finish that?
You could not have. Like in for the tour too, like I think that like that's actually a very underrated storyline in itself. Is like you're right. Is that there was never a better place. There was never a better ending to that.
Yeah.
Almost ridiculous to a point. Saga, not even right. Saga. Whatever it was, relationship.
Whatever you want to call
it. Whatever you want to make it. Yeah. It was the best way for it to possibly end.
1,000% for everyone, for the tour, and, for Bryson, for Brooks. Yep. Like Bryson. Bryson might win the long drive competition just off of like him feeling like everyone
adrenaline. And like, that's what I'm saying. How do you not come away from this weekend and think the biggest winner besides the US was not Bryson DeChambeau? Yeah. Dude, Sunday.
He's gonna do something. What do you think he's going to do to fuck it up though?
I think
1,000% he's going.
He's to. Being coached. It's probably going to be come from a YouTube video, but he's being coached. Okay, so Sunday morning, just think about this. Like, what happened Sunday morning with him going off? What was he in the order? He was like probably middle, like fifth or sixth.
After Scheffler and Rahm.
So you're not even halfway through the full lineup, and the crowd is just ready to pop. Like, right? It's you know they're fresh. It's the start of, you know, every, like we said, everything momentum is just could not be further on our side.
Yeah.
And he steps up there and drives the green and we're looking and you've
carried it like 345,
probably. 345. Yeah. Ended up 354.
Yeah.
Yes, it was downwind, obviously, but who gives a shit?
I don't give a shit about downwind, upwind, whatever.
Yeah. It's
54 yards in the air.
One, it's ridiculous how much control he has the golf ball. Like it's even being underrated what he's doing right now. It really is ridiculous. But to make that putt, dude, and start drive the green eagle on Sunday singles.
I text Mark Serio from Sick Putters.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, did you?
I texted him right there. I was like, it's gonna be a good day to have a sick putter.
Dude, he made some bombs too. He was rolling it at times with that sick. He
really did.
When I think about the Ryder Cup, I can't, like, as much as I don't want to think about Bryson, he was easily the most entertaining person in I do want to make this note too.
Likeable energy and like
that's so, what I'm right
So here's somebody that you can go with your point and then I'll
No, I was just going to say quick, from watching the Solheim Cup and watching the Ryder Cup, I was the Solheim Cup, dude. I swear to God, after every single hole, somebody was giving the, you know, the pumped up the crowd hands and everything. And it started to kind of piss me off a little bit. Cause I'm telling you, it was every hole, every time the hole ended,
find something
like, oh yeah. Like, oh, I got, you know, we halved with a bogey and let's pump the crowd up. Yeah. Like, and so I remember actually being like, I don't like this. I don't like this. And I loved the fact that it didn't happen as much at the Ryder Cup. Like it only really happened when it was momentum or when it was, but when it did happen,
a lot of fist
pumps, a lot of good fist bumps. When they really, like, obviously JT was the most, I think to answer our question, I think we posed in the preview is who was going to be the Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
I think it was JT, right?
I don't know.
He was like outwardly, I mean, I don't think he had a lot of moments where he could kind of, you know,
yeah,
really kinda, like
Justin kind of, I don't know, man.
He was the fire. He was the most fiery.
It almost seemed forced to me.
It did seem forced. I agree with that.
Super forced. And like, what were your views on them chugging those beers?
Cause I loved it.
I kind of was like, guys, it's Saturday. Like, don't do this.
I loved it. They were vibing.
That's hilarious. That's what I mean
about Perfect Storm. Like, it was
was like the little brother that was just like, if he's going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beer, like.
Yeah. That's what I mean by it was just like, they could do no wrong. You could look at so many different things that happened where you could go back and be like, I didn't like the way they did, but none of it mattered because the train was rolling and nothing was stopping it. So
you can literally
do what you want.
You could say nothing about anything, like nothing about the move Stricker made, about anything, because it was just all perfect.
Right.
It's probably never going to happen again like that.
19-9.
I don't think that it could ever be as perfect as that. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What else you got to talk about? We've hit a lot. We've been jumping all over the place.
If you could tell, there was no format, but no, I think that's it. I think we've been rolling for a little bit now.
I know, but how I have to tell my Scheffler story.
Oh yeah.
So before the Scotty Scheffler and John Rahm matchup, I text you and Frankie and I was listen, Scheffler should just concede right now. Like, he should just let John Rahm hit his thing and then just be like, all right, dude, we're just
going to walk off.
Like, let's just go. You won.
I concede 18 straight holes.
And then he proceeds to win 3 out of the next 5 holes or something absolutely dust Rahm. Like, what a showing by Scotty Scheffler. Like, and what did you think about him in the Ryder Cup?
I love, like, he was kind of like making a sports kind of reference. Like, he felt like the U.S. is like utility guy.
Okay.
And like, you know, it's funny. I wouldn't say it's biting the bullet, but like, you know, he was the one who kind of got stuck with Bryson, whether it's, you know, you want to call it getting stuck with Bryson or not, but like he did. He was so good in that role, and
they seemed like he loved them.
Oh, I think it was a big question mark of like the U.S. success is like, you know, who do you pair with Bryson? How, you know,
right.
How's it going to be for many different reasons, but like, yeah, man, he was awesome. And then
he played really well.
And then that's the thing. Like, when you talk about like, no moment is too big for those guys. And like the Scheffler Rahm thing was a perfect example. Yeah. Was he sitting on house money? For sure. But he went out there and did it. And he went out there
You could say what you want. John, you know, was tired from playing 5 matches, but fucking DJ was tired too, and he went out there and beat Paul.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. You taken anything away from him? Yeah.
If you put Scheffler and John Rahm against each other, 9 times out of 10, I would guess that John
Rahm wins. Yeah.
And that was the one that he did.
Yeah. No, it was pretty important. Was impressive. I'm a big Scheffler fan. I like him. I like his game.
And I certainly certainly loved Xander too.
Oh yeah.
At the end when he was like, oh my God, just
when he was smoking the cigar, I was crying.
Just winking at the camera every chance.
Like, he was faded.
I don't know who he was winking at, but it was hilarious. Like that presser at the end was some of the best things.
Yeah, it was all time.
DJ, absolutely.
Absolutely. It was so good. It was so good. Yeah, I love that. I love that the style that they did that, like how they, like, I love that how they did that with that presser.
It was so funny. Even Colin sticking the microphone in his shirt and just talking because he had the, like,
he's so funny.
It was so good. So, all right. Well, we touched on a lot of stuff. You got any final thoughts? Did you play at all? You want to talk about that?
No, I think we've hit enough. I think we've hit enough.
You don't want to talk about your.
I played today. It was nothing. It was nothing. Nothing special.
Something happened though.
What?
You left the big dog.
Oh, I left the driver at home. Yeah. It didn't. It probably made a. I hit a shitload of fairways. We played a tight track. I shot 81.
Okay.
But how about get this though? I was looking at my stats. Shot 81, but parred all the par threes and parred all the par threes and even through the par fives. So I played those at three and at five.
It's a recipe for success.
Yeah, it's solid. I think I played 13 or 14 holes at even. 13 holes at even. But yeah, some blow up holes. Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
You were playing. Did you beat the pro team that you were playing?
Oh no. They were doing their own little thing, but no.
I thought you were playing against them.
No. Oh, I beat them up though.
Stupid golf league got canceled for the rain.
Oh, cause of rain. Yeah.
Tuesday. Yeah.
That's tough.
We might be doubling up here pretty soon, playing a Tuesday and a Wednesday. So that'll be, I'm nervous though, cause I'm not playing this weekend. Thomas's birthday and everything. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Starting to dwindle, man.
I know. The leaves are starting to change.
I know.
It's crazy.
But any final thoughts before we leave them?
No, I think, like to your point, like Bryson's at the long drive right now, and I think he qualified already. He hit one 412 yesterday.
Qualified for the next day, yeah.
And then today he hit five in his all five of his balls were in play, which is so insane to think. Like
heard of in that
he's game. Easily the longest straightest hitter of the golf ball the world.
He'll be the most accurate.
But I'm excited to see where this goes.
Me too. Definitely and excited then, to see where he's going. What's that?
And I would say the only other note was what's it called? I don't know if you saw this today, but the farmers at Torrey Pines in 22 is they changed it from went to a Wednesday to Saturday tournament because of the that's championship weekend. It's conference championship weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, you think they're gonna do that more often?
I think that they should, but I don't know if that's like a ratings try, but that's pretty nice. We'll have Torrey on a Saturday finishing up and then go into the championship Sunday in the NFL.
I wonder if that'll get lost. That's gonna be interesting to see.
Right.
Because like Saturday, people might just forget that.
Forget, I know. You just don't. You're so, yeah.
We got a lot of golf before then, man.
All right. Let's leave them.
Yeah, we'll leave them on the 19th.